Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your home of the weird, the strange, the unusual, and oftentimes there's some humor spiced in there a little bit. And happy St. Paddy's Day to everyone. We're recording this on St. Paddy's Day. Hope everyone is enjoying their day. I hope everyone is being safe and enjoying themselves, friends, family, what have you. I have myself, Barry Johnston. I'm with my partner, my co-host, the professor, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you much, Osmingle and Sensei Road Warrior Barry Johnston. I want to say happy Hangover and Green Pea Day because this will be going out on the 18th. So
that's right.
If you celebrated, we hope that you know the magic shamrock brought you at Tylenol or Advil and plenty of rehydrating fluids.
Absolutely, I'm actually probably going to be celebrating tomorrow because we were talking before. I just got back from a really long trip, so I am dragging ass right now. So.
Yeah, you are a road warrior, though, dude. When did you literally just got back.
Yeah.
When did you start out? When did you drive down?
We left, we left last Wednesday, got there, went to Wisconsin, got there Thursday evening, and just, like, hit the ground running. I mean, no stopping, just, like, go, 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 go. And then we headed back last night, yesterday at 3, drove till 11, something like that last night. Woke up this morning on the road by 7, got back here at like 3:15, 3:20. So long drive, man. Long drive. Dude. And just like, you know how it is when you're away from home, like trying to sleep, dude. Just not a lot of sleep. Yeah. And just seeing family was just, we were busy all day, every day, you know, nonstop. But it was good. We had a good time. Got to see everybody. And, of course, I wanted to see some friends. I just didn't have any time to do that. I try to keep in touch with people. But I did text a couple of people and let them know, hey, I'm going to be up there, but I don't think I'm going to have any time, you know. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's been crazy, man. It's been good. How have you been, man? How was your weekend?
Dude, I been busy, man, you know, trying to get back on track since my my 3 weeks of illness. And so I just last week and this weekend just being super productive trying to get everything back on track.
You're looking better, man.
Thanks, dude. Thanks, man. I'm feeling loads better. Obviously, I've got my energy back. I'm feeling, you know, normal, I guess.
Yeah. A good illness will help you keep that in perspective when you feel at least not like shit.
Yeah.
Things are a lot better.
Yeah, and you know, and you feel, and like especially when you're like, "Oh, I'm getting shit done, man. I'm being productive." It's awesome because, you know, these are things that I've needed to take care of and for a while, but haven't had the time or the energy or the, wellness, the health to do it. So, yeah, so I got a lot of that taken care of.
Good. Good. And nice.
Good, man.
Good. Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, St. Paddy's Day, I'm not going to be celebrating today, but I'll probably grab a Guinness and have one tomorrow or something.
Nice.
I see a lot of sleep in my future here, so there's no time for a Guinness today. But yeah, and also while we were driving, man, just the freaking winds were crazy today coming back. Dude. Oh, it was insane, man. So yeah, the highways were fraught with people fighting the wind, and of course, you know, you got your handful of idiots out there.
Well, you missed the huge Oklahoma dust storm. Did you see people posting about that on Facebook and stuff?
I talked to my mom. She said it was so bad you couldn't see. Like, it was just blurred out. She said it smelled like fire, too. I don't know if they had wildfires with it, too. But
I think maybe, but, like, there was a lot of... I've never seen dust like that in real life myself, you know. Yeah. And I'm glad that I didn't live there, because me seeing that, just looking at it makes my sinuses lock up and everything.
Oh yeah.
I would have been miserable, dude. I wouldn't have been able to leave the house with that. I'd have to wear like a spacesuit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It would have been that bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Milwaukee too, we had a bad snowstorm blow through yesterday morning, and usually road crews are really good up there, but it fell so quick that they didn't have time to get on it. And like, we got onto the freeway, and I thought there was a guy that was in front of us that started to spin out, and it was pretty crazy, man. So yeah, that was wild. I think they got like 3 inches in a matter of like an hour maybe or something.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So
yeah,
that was sketchy.
That happened here about 3 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
And like, it was scary. Like it may have been 4 years ago, and I was not ready for that. You know, it had been cold and we had maybe a little of snow, but we had a little snow from the night before. And it came down quick, but they kind of cleared the roads off, and it was only maybe like half an inch at the most.
Yeah.
And then the next afternoon, like, it hit hard. Like, I got stuck in a neighborhood, and I was able to like push myself out because there was nobody around to help me.
Yeah.
I was out doing my deliveries, and I was just like, screw this. I can't. This is dangerous. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going home. And I got out on the highway, and like, it was just crazy because it was super slow and people were just, you know, sliding off and just, you know, it was just terrible. I got off to my exit, which I normally take, which is about, I think, maybe 2 miles down to my house, something like maybe three.
Yep.
It takes me like, you know, it takes me like 5-6 minutes from the exit to get to my house. Well, on this and that day, I think it took me like it took me over an hour. I don't remember how.
Wow.
But dude, it took me over an hour. It took me like half an hour to get from the exit off of the highway to the first stop, which is probably a little over 100, 150 yards. Damn. 30 minutes just to get to that far. Then, you know, I had to get to the next one. Well, the next one is stoplight is on a bit of an incline. So there were cars getting stuck on the incline, spinning out.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they could not not being able to move, you know. And like, I'm driving and, you know, I've got the minivan. It's doing okay, but this is still not good conditions, you know, because it stopped snowing, but everybody had been driving over that snowpack, you know, now that it's basically they're cramming it into ice, and so it's super slick, and it was just so stressful to get that short bit home. But yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So anytime you're dealing with inclines and declines, like, and there's a lot of cars, that's when you start puckering a little bit, you know. People get out of control really quick, you know. So
I mean
we're talking about snow, we're talking about cold, we're talking about Wisconsin, and
yes, we are.
This leads us just so smoothly into our introduction for our guest. We have Gina that came on. She's from Wisconsin. She knows all about what we're talking about. We're super happy to have her back.
Yes, Gina's been on before. She has a lot of like really funny coincidency kind of stories. You may remember her glove box caught on fire, and she's written a book, and now she's started a podcast with her friend. Everybody's doing it. It's cool. But there, we're going to talk to her about that. But she's also got a brand new book out, the sequel to her burning glove boxes. And we really we always have a good time talking to Gina, and we had a really good time, a very interesting conversation that came out of this. This is one episode that we can, I mean, this episode is much more of the conversation end than it is of her stories. But this, you know, it's that's what it's all about. You know, it's the stories and it's the conversation, and it's a lot of fun. So, Gina, thanks for joining us once again. What's your weird story?
Oh, thanks so much, you guys. Oh my gosh, I've actually had a couple more weird stories that have popped up. One really recently in our current house. So I think I told you guys about the weird stories in the last house that we lived in. Mm-hmm. And one morning I got up and Kate walked into the kitchen. Our kitchen's right off of our bedroom. And I looked to the right, and our side door was wide open. Not the screen door, but the inside door. Oh. Unlocked, wide open. And I walked back to my son's room because I thought, did he go outside? And I asked him, did you go outside? And he said no. And I said, did someone come over last night? And he said no. And I said, well, the door is wide open. And so I hustled it back to my bedroom, and I woke up my husband. I'm like, you need to get up. I said, like, I think someone may have gotten into our house last night. So he got up, and he went downstairs. He's looking around, and he's like, there's no one here. And he's like, well, we have cameras, which why didn't he think to look at the camera first? But whatever, you know,
yeah.
Take the longer route. You get right there anyway.
Make sure home base is clear first, then go to the cameras.
Right. Exactly. So he looked on the camera, which clearly will show anyone coming in or going out of that door on that porch. And it's out the side of our house, and there's no one.
It just opened?
And it wasn't a jar. It was completely wide open.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
And so I called one of my girlfriends who's like really into this type of stuff. And she said, it's the lady that lived there. She's like, she's an older woman, and she likes you guys and how like fun you guys are. And so she likes playing games with you guys. Oh. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I thought we were away from all this stuff.
Wow. So now you got a new friend.
We got a new friend.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. For the longest time, we'll have like something go missing. And we always said it's Rita, because Rita was the lady that owned the house. We would always say that, just joking around, right?
Yeah.
And then the thing would appear, you know, eventually right where we looked. But yeah, I think that Rita was playing with the door.
Wow. Is that the only time?
It's the only experience I've had here.
Wow.
Besides things like going missing. But I don't know. That was the biggest, like, dramatic thing.
Interesting.
So, and we haven't had anything since, but it was really remarkable, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, to like, he checked and double checked and triple checked the video, and there was nobody that came in or went out at all throughout the night or in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was probably a couple months ago. And the crazy thing is I always double check before I go to bed to make sure that the door is closed, that it's locked. And our son is like hyper vigilant about that. So like with the two of us, there's no way that door would have gotten left wide open And there wasn't even enough wind that even if it was a jar that it would have like blown open because we had the screen door up. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was bizarre. So that's my weird story.
Oh, man.
It's really strange that, I mean, like, even if the wind somehow be to blame,
it would be such a weird, because it's a sliding door. And those things, you know, you got to put some even pressure at certain points to get it to move open, you know. Yeah. Not every, like, little kids can't open some of them sometimes,
right?
You know, so you would have to have a strong wind at a certain kind of way hitting the house. I don't even know the physics behind it, but it would be something very bizarre that, you know, like a hurricane or tornado or some kind of weird atmospheric thing.
Yeah,
that is, you know. If it's not Rita, if it's a wind, if it's not, yeah, Rita.
So yeah.
That's more like it's Rita.
I'm confident it's Rita. I mean, even my girlfriend, when she said that, and she didn't know the history behind who owned the house before. But when she said that, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's
Rita's
crazy.
Rita's playing games with us.
Right. Wow. So you have a book, right? You've written a new book.
I did. And, so my first book is called Burnt Glove Boxes, Embracing Life When It Goes Up in Flames.
Yep.
So it's about weird stuff that happens to me. So then in January, that one released in, 2023. And the new one, Burnt Glove Boxes, Volume 2, The Chicken Is Now Holding a Flag of Surrender. So this is the second half to the first. So really, they should have gone together, but it would have been way too thick and people would have gotten tired of reading. So split it up.
Nice.
Got more reading material. Yeah.
Nice. Can we talk a little bit about what's in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the second book has fun stories about bad customer service experiences.
Oh, God. I think we can all all of us have been on one side or the other of that, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty much so, any business that you are a part of, working or whatever, it's customer service based and on some level.
Absolutely. And it seems like it's going down the tubes more and more. I don't even know.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we got those. We got some of those. We got some critter stories. So about creepy crawlies.
Yeah.
We got vacation stories. We got European vacations or travel abroad, I should say.
Okay.
There's one European one in there. It's important to probably learn a little bit of the language before you go to a foreign country, which, yeah, I don't learn a lesson very easily with that.
Right,
so.
Right. One of my favorite stories as of late when it comes to traveling abroad,
yeah,
is this lady that, she's a New Yorker. Okay. She married some guy from Pakistan. Have you heard about this?
No.
She goes to Pakistan. She on the internet, she presented herself to be not what she is, and the person that she married, his mother is like adamant that this isn't going to happen. So she stays in Pakistan. She becomes like a star over there over like a month or something, right? Then they kick her out of Pakistan. She goes to Dubai, and she's currently arrested in Dubai and up for 5 years in prison. Because she's a smoker, and that's illegal, I guess, in Dubai.
Wow.
And but the whole story is absolutely wild, wild, wild story. So,
like, when she was in Pakistan, she basically became some kind of TV personality.
Yeah.
And like, they're doing interviews with her, and she's like, calling. She's like, y'all need to like redo your roads and everything. And she's being very sassy and demanding. She's like, I'm from New York, New York City. We, you know, we had terrible roads. We know what terrible roads are. You need to fix yours. And she's just being like, and she doesn't, she's not necessarily wanting to come back to the States. You know, she just went there after, you know, I guess getting married. And yeah, they booted her. I guess they got enough of her.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's really important to kind of learn the culture of like where you're going, you know, and what's acceptable, what's not, what's illegal.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, very important that.
Yes. Yeah, especially those types of countries that live in such a different, their reality is way different, you know?
Yes.
That absolutely. Wow. So you got vacation stories.
Yeah. And then finally, we have some stories from some other people who donated stories. So my goal the whole time has been to turn this into an anthology, so similar to Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Cool.
But instead of inspirational stories, we're going to do people be able to submit their Murphy's Law stories. And I'll tell you what, you guys, one of my anthologies is going to be weird stories. So you guys are going to love that.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, it's one of my topics, the supernatural stuff.
Very cool.
But the first one we're going to launch will be animal stories, so people will be able to submit their animal mishaps.
Nice.
And super excited about it.
That's cool. How long did it take you to put it together, this one?
So when I wrote my original transcript, both of these books was in the original transcript. So basically for this one, it was just a matter of editing, moving things around a little bit and to where they fit well. And yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
How many people were, how many people submitted to you for their stories to be in the book?
I have two. One gal, a good friend of mine, submitted two stories. She's got a whole heck of a lot more. One in particular was from my best friend. Her daughter, years ago, I mean, I had been talking about writing a book forever, and she was 8 years old, and I must have been mentioning it in conversation with Julie, and because they always have burglar box stories happen too, and they happened to have this rat story that happened, and they had just this mishap with a rat, and I told Julie, I said, you got to write that for my book. When I finally do the book, you got to write the rat story. Well, Hannah actually wrote the story, and at 8 years old, and it was exactly what Julie had explained to me, although from an 8-year old perspective. So I had to take the trash out. My parents made me take the trash out. But it was amazing because Julie had told me when I wrote the book and when I was getting ready to start editing on two, and she's like, let me try to find that story. She's like, I'm going to try to find it for you. I said, great. And she found it and she sent it to me. And what was really remarkable about it is Julie didn't remember this and I didn't know anything about it, but Hannah had actually written me a letter. So, dear Gina, and then my mom's not going to have time to write the rat story, so I'm writing it. She writes the rat story. At the very end, she signs her name and she puts P.S. I hope you write that book one day. And it's just crazy because, you know, I think that it really highlights that sometimes when we doubt that we can do something or we kind of question, I don't know, you know, shouldn't I? But it's amazing the people from outside that are looking at us and recognizing our potential or that we do have that capability of achieving something really cool.
Sure.
And I think people ask me what my favorite story in this book is. That one is my favorite story because it came from Hannah's very young perspective, and she saw potential that I never even thought that mentioning it around an 8-year old would.
That's awesome.
Make a difference. Uh-huh.
That's, I mean, that's so, it's kind of what we do here, you know. We just listen to people's stories, and without other people, I mean, you know, if we don't have a guest on, we don't have a show. And that's a cool way to write a book, is to include other people's stories. That's, and a lot of times I think that we can get caught up in, like, we just had a conversation on here a couple of weeks ago about how, like, you can want to do something and you're working on it and you want to perfect it to the point to where it'll never make it out if you don't just let it go and let it be what it's going to be. Learn from those mistakes or the good things that happened in that process, and don't get bogged down by the other stuff, you know, and absolutely. Other people's confidence goes a long way in that, you know?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
That's mm-hmm. really cool. That's cool. So how many of the anthologies do you think, do you see this being like a yearly thing, or how often?
Yeah, probably a yearly thing. I have a couple of other writing projects in the works. A memoir. I want to do another humorous book about being old and and all the nuances that come with that.
Sure.
And so.
I mean, Adam and I are the same age, yet he's 30 years younger. But. Getting older is one of those things that's like, it's enlightening in a lot of ways, because you can't hold on to youth like you did when, you know, and rely on things like you did when you were younger. It's something that, I don't know, maybe that topic is out there, but it's not readily available, you know? I think I started to realize, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like around older folks, you're like, why are some of these people really grumpy and angry, you know? And you're like, you start to realize that, oh, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of physical pain that happens when you, as you get older, but also mental stress, you know?
Absolutely.
You start
and that I'm not putting up with everybody's crap anymore.
Yeah. That too. Yeah. Once you've seen the cycle of things happen a few times, and you start to figure these things out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to just listen to somebody or yeah, it's a weird topic, but like the aging process is something that, like, if I see someone who's aged in a way and has like been able to like become like an amazing human being at an older age, I always look up to that person.
Yeah.
Cause they were able to do it in a, you know, in a way that I hope that maybe I will be able to do, but I can see how hard that can be, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and right now I think I told you a while back, Adam, that I was looking at doing a podcast, and a girlfriend of mine and myself, we reconnected after many years, you know, never had a falling out, just family, life, everything got there, and we reconnected, and we went right back to day one, like we didn't miss any time. And it was so funny because she told me how she wanted to do a podcast, and how her husband bought her all this podcast stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. And she told me the type of podcast she wanted to do. And I found it really remarkable because it was the same type of podcast I wanted to do. Nice. And it's basically women 50 and over who are navigating. It's called Laugh Lines and Turbulence.
Okay.
And it's about women 50 and older navigating life in the second half of their life with inspiration, with humor. You know, they're switching careers. They're doing amazing, amazing things for our world. And we have had some fantastic guests on there. We're absolutely loving every minute of it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So age, yes, it can. We can let it hold us back as little or as, you know, or as much as we, our mind lets us. So, and these women are amazing. And similarly, Debbie switched a career. She went from a medical career, prestigious medical career, decided she wanted to be a flight attendant. She'd been wanting to be a flight attendant her whole life. And she took the jump and did it. And I did the same thing with my writing. I, you know, in our 50s, decided, you know what, time's wasting. Those sands aren't going to stay up in the top half.
Yes.
So now or never.
That's amazing. That is, I think anyone that gets to that point in your life where you think that I've done everything that I can do, you know, I can't do new things. I'm afraid of doing new things. I think sometimes as a younger person, you have maybe the balls, or you don't have the years of, like, you know, accumulating all of the information, and it gets more difficult as you get older to jump and to make these big leaps.
You're moving forward. I mean, when you're older, you have more life to reflect on. You can see danger, you know, you can see the probabilities of things going wrong, which, and the anxiety of this choice may create. Whereas when you're young, you know, you're invincible and invulnerable, and it's going to work out regardless. You know, if there's no, whatever it is, it's going to work out.
Right.
You know, and even, you know, as you get older, having that pure optimism is a lot more difficult to latch on to. But when you can, you know, because it does happen, you know, you can grab onto it and roll and run with it. And if it, you know, if you got that, you know, you can, if you have that kind of optimism, but also, you know, just wisdom of life experience, then you can go a lot farther than you, you know, than you could probably even think you could.
Yeah.
Because you know how to go plow forward, but also dodge and all, and go to, you know, just how to avoid traps and whatnot.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And women have a particular, like, the aging for women must be totally different. It's tough. It's in this world that we live in, because we don't have youth is not on your side, and our culture, you know, we value young faces a lot. You know, I mean, you see it in Hollywood and you see it all over, that, you know, yeah, right. And so that's a particularly, I would imagine, a harder thing for women, you know, because it's at a certain point, and even for men too, it's like, you know, the all those things, they fade away, you know, like if I start working out tomorrow, it's going to take me a month just for myself to get to the point to where I'm able to be, not in shape, but at least I'm not gasping for air, you know?
At least able to get out of the car and walk into the...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those things you take for granted, you know, they start to erode, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's good. That's a great thing, I think, that you guys are offering. That's...
Yeah, it's amazing. And then the other thing with, like, the oldness, it's like... Okay, like, you can sweat it, and like, you're not going to stop it, not unless you're willing to go do the Botox, and then you end up looking like the cat lady if you do too much of that stuff, right?
So, that's not, in my opinion, that's not graceful.
Right. You know? You have that risk, and especially if, like, you're not, like, tapping into the best of the experts in it.
Right.
and you guys know. You guys know that would go really poorly for me. So it's all about embracing and looking at the funny things of aging, right?
Yeah.
So why do older people, why do they kind of stop bathing as much, or why do they wear you know, Velcro shoes, or why do, well, now you're finding yourself in these situations, right? You're like, I don't know, right. Maybe I'll just comb my hair today, you know? You know, and you're like, well, that's why, because like, you're tired, you don't want to.
Right. Ease and comfort.
You don't care anymore.
Yeah. And that is like, I think sleep has a lot to do with it too. You know, as you get older, it seems it's, at least I'm going to speak for myself, it's harder to get a good night's sleep. And my dad, I can see it with my dad. My dad does not sleep enough. And that's got to be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just take comfort over, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, my wife always has this saying about fashion. She's like, what is it? Fashion over comfort, which is I'll be uncomfortable for a couple of hours if I can wear these heels. You know what I mean? Like at a certain point, man, that's got to start breaking down, you know?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Heels went out the window with me a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think men definitely tend to be more, just for comfort than style, you know, just because we're simpler that way. We're not concerned so much about peacocking anymore, or we think we are peacocking in our track suits or whatever it is that old dudes wear.
Yeah, right.
What do you wear, Barry?
Crocs. I'm wearing Crocs right now, man.
Excellent.
And a track suit. Yeah. And it's incredibly comfortable. It's very true. That is, that's a topic that is, I think could be, that's years worth of material. How often are you guys doing that podcast?
We record every week. We've had 2 weeks that we've taken off. So we flip flop. We'll do Debbie and I 1 week on a Friday. And then we'll have a guest on the following Friday. So we flip-flop that. But the guests we've had on, oh my gosh, just like amazing. We had a woman on, her name is Jana, and she wrote a book. And what led to her writing the book was her mother was an avid Dodgers fan. And she went to a ball game with Jana's dad and a couple of other people, and a foul ball was hit, and it came up and hit her mother in the head and killed her. And Jana took that as a platform to go up against the Major League Baseball organizations and to advocate for nets to be higher and further where those danger zones are. But she said how many people had been injured, like not even killed, but they have like life altering conditions because they were hit by a ball and survived it.
Right.
And so she was just amazing. We had a chef on this past week, but she, and she teaches, women how to make food for two or three people, that's it. So, you know, not this whole like thing, you know, empty nest kitchen.
Right.
What she does. And, her story was remarkable too, because she had a heart attack and didn't realize she was having a heart attack because the symptoms in women are so much different.
Wow.
So that got Debbie and I thinking, wow, this is really great. So she explained her symptoms, but I said, it'd be really cool to have like maybe a specialist on our show about that. So women are aware. It started with a pain in the roof of her mouth, believe it or not. Uh-huh. And she said the symptoms are not the typical symptoms that you hear with males, you know, the elephant on the chest type of thing. Totally different. In fact, she ended up going to the hospital because she wasn't feeling well. And they did all these tests on her and said, you know, how they can tell in the blood that you've had like some heart thing going on.
Right.
The numbers weren't super high, but they decided to err on the safe side and keep her overnight. Well, thank goodness they did, because she had a widowmaker while she was in the hospital.
Wow.
And they say she would not have survived that had she have been Wow. Discharge.
Uh-huh. Was that... So did she have a blood clot? Is that what it was?
No, there was something in her heart that caused that a blockage.
Wow.
That they hadn't seen, you know, that I don't think they even tested for the blockages initially. You know, they were just running the blood tests.
Yeah.
But she said it was like kind of like this pain that went across her shoulder blade.
Okay.
Was nothing in the front at all.
Wow, man.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you often hear about men having pain in the arm or something. Yep. And yep. That's really scary. That's really scary. Adam and I have a mutual friend Adam forever, but through the podcast, I really met him. I kind of knew of him when we were younger, but he recently had a stroke, and it presented itself as like a stomach issue. Mm. And it's like, wow, we're getting to that age, man. We're like, and he was driving a car. Thank God he was able to pull off, and like his family was with him that could help him. But like, he got violently sick.
Yeah.
And he just thought that he thought it was carbon monoxide poisoning or something with the car. And he asked his family, hey, are you guys feeling lightheaded and like sick to your stomach? And everybody's like, no. He's like, he thought it was an issue, that's scary, scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I want to keep it at any time. Yeah.
I guess I don't know that I, maybe I'm just not thinking of it, but I don't, is heart attacks in women a thing? Is that a big thing?
Yeah. In fact, just on the news tonight. Yeah. I'm still tuning in, you guys. You know, for the doom and gloom, I want to see like what's sure. the next, like aircraft debacle.
Oh,
but anyways,
that's been crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to all the families on saying that, but it's just like craziness with that. Yes. But anyways, I on the news, they had a thing, a little blurb about how women, like that's the number one killer of women is heart attacks.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I'm like, should I go in and get checked out? Because like, and they said especially like women who are going or who are in menopause that because of the drops in hormones and everything that their hearts become more susceptible.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's nuts, but I'm really super curious about having someone, you know, a specialist or somebody to come on and talk about what women, you know, to really get that education out there. So, I mean, we still want to keep light and funny. We don't want to get serious, but I think that these are some real issues that women are dealing with that let's educate ourselves. The big thing is like women didn't talk about menopause or mothers didn't talk about these things. You know, that was hard. No, we don't talk about that. You know, I'd watch my mom burn up in a sweat in the middle of a restaurant, dripping. Then I'm like, what the heck's wrong with you?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But now this is like a movement. Like women are talking about this stuff. And they say that women live longer, but they live sicker because of those drops in hormones. And so how can we live this second part of our lives and be healthy?
Yeah.
Or as healthy as we can be.
Sure.
And the first step is getting to the gym and getting out of the car. So I'm there with you, Barry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hormones are a big thing that, like, again, I just don't think it's talked about enough because, like, menopause is a real thing. You know, my wife was going through premenopause and it was like tough for me because I'm like, I'm trying to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and like mood swings and just like, it's like totally out of character. And I was like, and then we figured out, hey, you know, she went to the doctor and was like, yo, your hormones are all wacky.
Yeah.
And she was able to get some treatment for it. And it was great. But like, it's real. That is a real thing. And I remember when my mother-in-law was going through menopause and she would do the same thing. She lives in Wisconsin. So we'd go up to visit her dead a winter, and she's got the door open, you know, just like sweating, and you know, it was like we'd get a kick out of it, you know. Ella's having hot flashes, you know, but like it's real. It is real, man, and I feel for you guys, you know, it's and I, you know, with men, you know, we have a big drop in testosterone once we get into the mid 30s and into the 40s, you know, and that's tough because you're used to feeling a certain way. And then you wake up one day and you're like, why don't I have any energy? I don't have any, like, there's no drive to like do something, you know, what is that about, you know? And, you know, and then you go to the doctor and you get the testosterone thing figured out. And, it's a big thing. And that has a lot to do with your perception of things in life too. You know, if you're not feeling good, it might be because your hormones are jacked up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And vitamin D, it's another important thing that I never really thought about until I went to the doctor and he's like, dude, your vitamin D is way down.
Yeah.
And I would work outside, but I had skin cancer, so I'd just cake myself with, you know, sunscreen. Sure. And he's like, you're not getting enough, you know?
Yeah.
And I've noticed a big difference. I started taking vitamin D, you know, and the mood just is better. I don't know. I can't describe it, but I can tell when I'm lacking it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so yeah.
I got me on the D too.
Yeah, you got the D. You're on the D. How much do you take?
I don't know. It's a horse pill.
Oh, okay.
I take one and I take it twice a day. So, yeah.
I take 2,000 whatever it is, pills every day.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah. And I was, and another health thing is that I was taking 4 of those a day. And then I was with a buddy of mine whose mom is a nurse. And we were talking about it. I was like, yeah, man, I'm taking like 8,000 whatever things a day. And she's like, you got to be careful because you can overdose on vitamin B. And I'm like, what? Never knew that. She's like, yeah, you need to cut that down to half of that. So that's what I've been doing. And I feel good. But
you can't win.
Yeah,
you can't. See, when we were kids, we didn't have to worry about all this.
Yeah, right. I was talking to a friend of ours. He's our age. He's Adam and I's age. And we were talking just like one of those moments where, like, I could tell he was afraid to ask. But then he asked me, he's like, dude, how do you feel? You know? And I was like, man, I, you know, you're just kind of listing these things that are more difficult in life. He's like, dude, I feel the same way, man. I'm like, we're getting to that age where these things start to happen, you know, and you know, you obviously the older you get, the more people in your life you lose to things that could have been prevented.
Right.
And that's hard because you're like, man, what could we have done different, you know? So
absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I in one of my former roles at the place that I work, I used to go out to community nursing homes to visit with some patients. And I was walking down the hallway of this one nursing home one day, and I heard, I think it was Boston playing out of somebody's room. Yeah. They had the Boston, on top volume. And I thought, oh my God, here we go. Oh my God, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Lawrence Welk anymore, people.
Right.
They're playing our stuff.
Right. So true. That's hilarious.
Crazy.
And they were a couple of girls that moved in downstairs, and one was telling me how she liked classic rock, and she was talking about the first two was like, you know, like the Beatles or Eagles and Green Day, and when I heard that, I was just like, Green Day's like classic rock.
Yeah.
that was 1994, man. That's not.
Yeah, it was only 31 that's years ago.
It's got to be from the 70s. Scott, you're wrong.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm working on a memoir right now, and it's from my childhood growing up, and so it's from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to kind of like get into that mindset, I'm like doing a lot of research and looking at like the toys of the 70s, the trends, the all stuff. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, and then I'm going back at my yearbooks and my school photos, and I figured out that I was in sixth grade. It turned into the 1980s while I was in sixth grade, and I'm like, I was in sixth grade in the 80s? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I was in high school in the 80s.
It's crazy, man.
Madonna, Prince, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. What is this?
I tell you what, one of the funner things to do is to go back and rewatch old commercials from the 70s and 80s. And it just is like, wow, I remember. It just triggers that thing where you're a kid again, you know? And I'm on a thread with some buddies of mine. We're all about the same age, and somebody will send a picture of a toy. Hey, did you have this toy? Or candy, you know, these candies, you know, that we used to eat. And it's just like, wow, man, that really, it flies by so quickly. And when you're a kid, I think time is so much slower because you're moving at a fast pace. And you're just like, God, I can't wait to, what's the year 2000 going to be like? It's going to be amazing. You know, and then you get there, and now here we are 25 years into it, you know, and it's like,
talking about hormone drops.
Yeah, man. That's where we're at. But I do think we're a little bit wiser as far as like maybe the way that our parents were raised and our grandparents were, you know, they didn't have any inkling as to a lot of that. Yeah. A lot of that stuff. So that's good. Yeah, but
we're fortunate in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have, you know, that technology is like kind of come that far, medical and all of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. 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 Well, once again, can you plug the book, the books, and how can people get in touch with you, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can reach me at www.GinaRamseyAuthor.com. And it's Burnt Glove Boxes 1. And the second one is Burnt Glove Boxes 2. It's the one with the nice red stripe on the top. Kathy Kinney from the Drew Carey Show did the foreword for this one. So I'm giving her a plug. Boom, boom.
Fantastic.
They're short essays, so they're easy reads, but they're chock full of fun, laughter and all that good stuff. And it's really what our world needs right now is more just laughter and some light stuff. So, and that's been my goal the whole time is bringing joy to our world. And so, that's what I'm here to do. And literally you guys, I've found my purpose in life.
That's great.
This is my purpose. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for coming on and sharing that. And yeah, people go out and get the book.
Once again,
podcast.
What's that?
What was the podcast again?
Called
once again? Yeah. So it's called Laugh Lines and Turbulence.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's what's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Gina, thanks for coming back on and sharing again. We had an opportunity to have a great conversation. always fun to have her. And sounds like she's got a friendly ghost around the house, which is always fun.
Yes, Vera, who is, Vera opens the door, but at least not in the wintertime. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, and it's cool that she keeps putting books out. She keeps doing, you know, that thing that she loves to do so much. And I think it's cool, too, that she's getting other people involved in the writing process. And also, you know, we had a chance to talk about something that we don't talk a lot about, which is health and aging and all the things that come along with that. And I think it's great. She's got a podcast that she's doing. It's fantastic stuff.
Those lines and turbulence with her friend. And you can hear, for, you know, especially for the more mature woman, I guess, is that what they're going to say? I don't want to say young old ladies, because that's not right. And that will get me in a lot of trouble if I say that. So I didn't say that. I'm just making a point to point out that I didn't say that. But yeah, go listen to that. Hear some stories and some talks and more information. And yeah, we did, you know, we did talk about aging and growing old and trying to grow old gracefully. And, you know, Green Day is not classic rock. I'm standing by it. It's not it's classic rock. It's punk rock. It was from the early alternative revolution.
Yeah, it's very weird. I saw a meme the other day somewhere, and it said, "Back to the Future." The premise of the story was that they took Marty back 30 years in time from 1985, which is 1955, and if you apply that today, it would be 1995. So that makes you feel pretty old. Yeah, it's weird because even back then, I think the separation, a lot of it is black and white photos. And like, as soon as things went into color, it just seemed like and that's just me because I wasn't alive back then. But in my mind, I can't get out of the fact that like black and white photos just look like people wearing black and white things. And they're, you know, they're not modern at all. You know, but then you go back.
We also grew up with black and white. They would show black and white movies and TV shows on TV,
right,
for reruns and stuff. They would show stuff in black and white.
Yeah,
you know, not everything was in color, and certainly not in any kind of 4K, 3K, or any kind of K.
Yeah,
it was pre-K. You know, so
in more ways than one, for sure.
More ways than one, dude. It was very, I totally get that, where we, you know, are with memory, it becomes about being in black and white. That's a trope. And you see it in film and in TV where, you know, you go back. A flashback is often in black and white to, right, you know, so that people know that this has happened before.
Yeah.
And it's very, but, you know, I mean, it is once the world went color, mean, you know, in television and film, it's, you know, that is kind of a more of a more modern era for us as Gen Xers. That's certainly the delineation point. But, you know, the millennials, it's, you know, they're, you know, I don't know where they're. What's old starting with them.
Right.
And
maybe pre-iPhone. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, or pre-internet. Pre-internet. Right. You know, but
yeah. You know, yeah, that is wild. It is weird to think of it that way. And in a lot of ways, like, you know, moving from an analog world to a digital world, you know, we're at the cusp of it. You know, we grew up sort of in an age where computers were a thing, but they weren't at the magnitude, and they didn't have the ability that we've got now, where it's just like life has gotten faster and faster and faster. Yeah. Technology's gotten crazier and crazier. But it is cool to go back in time. I sometimes will go on and I'll look at old photographs from the 1900s, but they color them. Like, I was looking at some Great Depression photos, and for whatever reason, it tricks your brain to go, oh, wow, these were real people. That could have been me. That looks like I would have been that guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's weird. We are inevitably getting older, and
Stop it, Barry.
Yeah, you can't stop it. But it's cool to have people out there sharing information with people, and every generation deals with it in the way that they can. I feel like we're getting better at it. Our longevity, we're living longer.
Yeah. Certainly. You know? I mean, you know, look, people who are, when you think about back in the, even back in the 80s, you know, people who were 50, like you.
Yeah.
Or almost.
Yeah.
You know, they looked a lot older.
They looked a lot older.
Now, part of that is probably because they drank, you know, tons of coffee every day and
smoked a lot of cigarettes.
A lot of cigarettes since the time they were like, you know, eight. You know, so that certainly didn't help them out, you know, with aging. But it's fascinating to see how we have, you know, in many ways we're healthier, but in a lot of ways we're not.
Right.
But it's that contradiction. That's humanity, isn't it? But it is the strange. It is very strange. You see people who are, you know, our age on TV, that they're supposed to be our age on TV or whatever. And they look so much older. It's just bizarre.
It is wild. It is wild, man. But yeah, always cool to talk to Gina. We really loved having her on. Can't wait till she comes back. She's got more books that she's working on, so I know she'll come back. And always looking forward to that. You guys should get in touch with us. We want to hear your stories. We want you to come on. We want you to share your book, share your movie, share your song, share your story. We want to hear from you, and we'd love to have a conversation with you.
You can always get a hold of us on our social media accounts, Facebook and Instagram. And email is wywspod@gmail.com. And, you know, we would, like Barry said, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories, no matter how big or small, how funny or strange. We know everybody's got a couple of good stories in them, at least one. We want to hear it. We want to share it, and we want to have a conversation with you. So thanks for listening, Weirdsville. We will see you next time, and it's going to be it's going to be fun. So we'll talk to you in that time that we talk to you next. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.